You'll turn now with me to Jonah chapter 2. You can also find it in the white insert that's inside your order of worship, which will have the outline notes. I encourage you throughout the sermon, write down the things that God speaks to you through. You'll see fill in the blanks in different ways that you can engage what it is that God's bringing before you, what I'm bringing before you. And I really encourage you to try that. But hear now the word of the Lord in Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We know now at this point that the Lord had provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and that Jonah was now in the belly of this fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. And this is the prayer that Jonah lets up to God in that place. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I call to the Lord out of my distress. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. I have a question for you. Have you ever experienced the symptoms of drowning? Have you ever seen someone drowning, or have you yourself ever experienced what it's like? My wife Jenny had an experience like that once. She shared it with me and said it was okay if I shared it with you as well. When she was 5 or 6 years old, she took swim classes at the local pool. It was a town pool. And she was only just a little girl, and all the kids lined up to jump off the lower diving board into the water. And if you know my wife, you know she is fearless. She'll try anything. She'll just jump right in. And so, being a little girl, she got right up on that diving board, and she just jumped off into the water. But as soon as she hit the water, she realized no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't get the water to go below her eye level. So just her eyes were coming up out of the water, and she's thrashing and kicking and moving, and no matter how hard she tries, she just can't seem to get up for a gulp of air. There's total panic swept over her. And at that moment, a swim instructor saw what was happening and jumped in and pulled her out right away. According to many popular blogs that I just typed into Google, you know, most feared cause of death, just to see what would happen. And there are like 18 blogs popped up. And drowning was number 2 on almost all of them, second to only being burned to death. You think, drowning is number 2 of the most feared ways to die. Why? Because when you drown to death, you lose control. You're desperate, you're hopeless, it's painful, it's slow, it's agonizing. And the craziest thing about it is the harder you try to save yourself, the worse it makes things. The more you thrash and the more you go crazy, it doesn't seem to produce any results. And yet there's this instinct in your brain, you just gotta keep going and you can't stop yourself. This is what our friend Jonah had just experienced and what we talked about last week. Jonah had just experienced almost drowning to death in this raging sea. And then he was delivered. He was swallowed up by a fish. And there he is sitting in the slimy insides of this fish. And he raises up this gorgeous hymn, this beautiful psalm of prayer to God. We know that Jonah was called to Nineveh and he fled the presence of the Lord. And he went down, when he fled God's presence, he didn't want to give other people a second chance. And that's what we learned in week one, was that God gives second chances to others and to ourselves. So should we give second chances as well? And the answer is yes. And then last week we talked about how when we disobey God, when Jonah disobeyed God, there were serious consequences. Jonah hurt God. Jonah hurt others. Jonah hurt himself. And we learned that Christ can calm the storms of our life. But we have to confess. We have to receive that forgiveness. And we have to begin a new life in Christ. And today, what we see is that since God had sent a storm on the ship because of Jonah, the sailors threw him in the waves. And when they did, the waves stopped. But Jonah knew he was a goner. He needed help. And that's when the fish came in and swallowed him up. And that's where we find him there. He's just waiting there 3 days and three nights. And what does he do while he waits? He prays. Today I want to talk about why prayer is the most powerful thing we can do when we feel most powerless. Why did Jonah call out to God? This is the number one on your outline. Why did Jonah call out to God in prayer? There's a lot of things you can do when you're in dire straits. Why prayer? Why did Jonah do that first? Well, the first thing we learned is in point A, it says that Jonah was in a dangerous place. He was in a dangerous place, and we see all these scripture verses. It says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. We see a lot of references to this place, Sheol, in the Bible. It's reference to the pit. It's basically the deepest, darkest, lowest place you could go. It's basically hell. And it says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried out. And that's where he was. It says that he was in the deep of the water, the deepest part of the ocean. You could imagine how terrifying it feels. The deeper you go, the farther the distance it is to the surface. It says the heart of the seas and the flood. This is where he was thrown into, the very central area. There's no way he can get out of there. It says the waves and the billows were crashing over him as he's out there. He's just getting pounded down under the water in verse 3. The waters were closing in. I mean, you could just imagine the suffocation that Jonah was experiencing. And it says his life was ebbing away. His life was just being sapped out of his body, and he was becoming lifeless. And that the weeds wrapped around his head, and he's tangled up in all of these things. I mean, just the worst, deepest, most dangerous place you could imagine. And spiritually as well, in point B, it says that Jonah felt separated from God as he was in this dangerous place. It says, look at how many times it uses the pronoun you. He uses this phrase, you. You cast me into, it says in verse 3, you cast me into the sea. You cast me into this deep dark place. Again in verse 3 it says, all your waves, all your billows are crashing over me. So he knows that God is the one who's sending this upon him. And then in verse 4, probably the most tragic, I am driven away from your sight. And we learned in week 1 that when Jonah fled the presence of the Lord, that Hebrew word presence also means face. And when we engage someone's face, we're in full fellowship with them. And he's saying, I'm being pushed away from your face, from your sight. The third thing in letter C, it says, Jonah lost hope. That's how he knew. That's why he called out to God. He lost hope in that moment. It says, how shall I look again upon your holy temple in verse 4? How can I possibly enter into, what was the temple? God's presence. That was the place where you could receive God's grace, where you could receive that experience face to face with God. How could I ever have that again, is what he felt. He said, I went down to the land whose bars closed me in forever. And I just thought, wow, what an amazing symbolism, this idea. He was being barred and imprisoned forever. I mean, there's no hope in this context. And this is why Jonah cried out to God. Now, I want you to note this, that Jonah's actually referring to this experience of drowning, but he's referring to the drowning in the seas. He's not actually talking about being swallowed by the fish in this. I don't see anywhere in this passage does it talk about his present condition inside the fish. He's talking about what he just went through. And so the question is, what happened to Jonah that his focus shifted? And it's not on where he is now, but it was on where he just came out of. It's because Jonah found hope. How? Point two, Jonah remembered the Lord in prayer. Jonah remembered the Lord in prayer. What do we see here is that Jonah's saying that God answers prayers. That's in point A. God answers prayers. I called to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. It says in verse 2. I called, and He answered. It says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and many hidden things that you have not known. That's in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. The Lord is saying, call out to me, and I will respond. I will show you these things. God answers prayers. The second part is this, that God hears your prayer wherever you are. Point B, God hears your prayer. It doesn't matter where you are, it'll make it to Him. I love how it says, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. Sheol, the underworld, out of the belly of the most inner part of this place, I cried out, and you heard my voice. Even in the deepest, darkest places we could ever find ourselves, God will still hear our voice. It says in Psalm 66, verse 19, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayers. God hears your prayer. It doesn't matter where you are. Point C, it says that prayer grabs God's full attention. It actually enters into God's presence. It says, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. I love this. I had this image when I was reading this of my voice literally just moving up, 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 and then going through the landscape and then soaring then and entering into God's temple. It doesn't falter. It doesn't lose its ability. God's presence is everywhere. Our voice enters into His fullest attention when we call out in prayer. And point D, it says that God responds to prayers. What did God do for Jonah? In verse 6, you brought up my life from the pit. He rescued him. This is amazing. Jonah offers this prayer of thanksgiving to God before the fish actually spit him out. He is in the pit. He is in the pit of the fish, and he's thanking God for being saved from the pit of the ocean. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he once asked a Hebrew scholar over at Fuller Seminary, and he said, he was taking a class on the Minor Prophets, and he said, you know, did Jonah really pray this prayer while he was in the belly of the fish, or do you think that it was one of those scenarios where maybe it was sort of written down and added later? And this Hebrew scholar over at Fuller immediately responded to him. He said, oh yeah, Jonah did pray that prayer. I totally believe it. And so he said, well, why? Why do you believe that Jonah would be able to pray this eloquent prayer while he's sitting inside the guts of this giant whale? And he said, Hebrews were trained up from childhood to pray the Psalms. It was a part of their entire life. They would read it and they would write it and they would put it inside little capsules and tie it to their foreheads and they'd put it all over their homes and over their doorposts. This was a part of their life. They would greet each other in the marketplace with prayers. Specific times of their day set out where they would sit and pray the Psalms every day. It was the same as breathing for them. And no matter whatever circumstance they found them in, these Psalms were literally, it gave them the vocabulary that they needed when they cried out to the Lord. Just look at Psalm 18:6. Look at how similar the wording is in this psalm to what we saw in Jonah's psalm. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. Wow! It's almost the exact words that Jonah just prayed. What we see is that prayer for Jonah was something that was so built into his life Praying God's word was so built into his life that even in the darkest places, it just came out of him. And it gave him hope. It brought him into a place of peace with the Lord. So the application for us then is, are you drowning today? Is there a part of your life where you are just trying to swim as hard as you can? That your arms and legs are kicking and thrashing and you're just doing everything you can, but you just can't seem to get the water to go below your eyes. And it seems like every day it's getting higher and higher and higher, and it gets to the point where you can't even see the surface anymore, and you're saying, God, what is going on? What is happening here? And the question is, what do you do when you're in distress? What do you do that's moving your arms? How are you coping with this feeling of being overwhelmed mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually? I want you to take a moment right now and evaluate the parts of your life where you are struggling, where you feel like maybe you're even drowning. And look at this list on your outline. Are you drowning physically? Are there parts of your lives that you feel like the strength is being sapped away from your bones? Are you exhausted? Are you burnt out? Have you lost your spark? Have you lost your creativity? Or how about this? Are you stuck in a dark place? Are you in a pit? Are you stuck? Do you have bad habits in your life? You can't seem to break. Do you have addictions in your life? You just can't seem to get through it. Write it down. Do you have seaweed wrapped around your head? Are they clouding your thoughts? Are you suffering from depression? Do you have suicidal thoughts? Do you have confusion and bitterness in your life? Write it down. Look at it on the page in front of you. Are you locked in a spiritual prison? Are there bars holding you down? Are those thoughts from the enemy, from Satan, telling you that you're not good enough? That you're not pretty enough? That you're not young enough? That you're not successful enough? Are you unlovable and unworthy of God's attention and care? Write it down. Write down those thoughts right here on this piece of paper. Write them down and face them for what they are. And now look at that list. These are the things in our lives that are dragging us down, that are preventing us from experiencing fellowship and happiness and joy and love and peace with God and others. And so how do we cope with it? Do we deny it? Do we dismiss it? Do we run away from it? We just say, oh God, I just hope it goes away. My friends, if you don't get anything else out of this word today, hear this one thing. God hears you when you pray. If you're in trouble, call out to Him. He will hear your voice. Why? Because He is listening. Because He loves you. Jonah could have seen this fish swallowing up as a curse and decided to curse the Lord in return. But he knew that God works in mysterious ways. God is always working in our lives. And He is on our side and He has a plan. No matter how bad things get, no matter how far away you run or how low you fall. I'll tell you, probably one of the deepest, darkest moments of my entire life. I don't know if I should share this, but here we go. About 10 years ago, I was engaged. This is long before I met my wife, Jenny. I was engaged to another woman, and we were together for about a year, and she, over the course of that year, it became evident that she just wasn't ready to get married. And so she came to me and said, and we had this long discussion, broke it off, can't get married anymore. So the next day I woke up and I was just destroyed. I thought my whole life was going to be built up with her. I thought I was going to have a family with her. I had all these ideas in my mind of what my life was going to be. And it was like in that one moment, it was just like, just destroyed. And I, I had a job I had to do that day. I was working freelance as a house painter, and so I went over to this client's house, and I was up on the rafters all day, and I'll tell you, I just painted the living daylights out of that guy's house. I was up on the second floor, just me and the sun and the birds chirping, and I was just in this crazy zone with God, and I was like, what is going on, God? What is going on? I thought I was following your commands. I thought I was doing the right thing. And now it's just all gone from me. And it's crazy thing is, as I was praying, I was so torn up inside. It was like I was clouded. And I was praying different psalms, and I was praying different scripture verses that were coming to mind, and they were giving me promises that God knew me and He understood what I was calling Him for, and He loved me and He was going to bring me into something good, but I just couldn't see it. And all of a sudden I just heard God's voice. It wasn't audible like the clouds shook or anything, but I just heard this voice deep in my soul, and it said, you will have your wife and you'll have your family and you will be happy. And I honestly heard that, and I just stopped and I just said, thank you. And it was through that prayer that I sensed God's voice, and I heard that promise. And honestly, here I am 10 years later, and God's fulfilled everything He ever promised me in that prayer and beyond. My wife, I love her so much. She's amazing. I have an amazing daughter. We have another one on the way. And I look at where my life was going up to that point, and I look at where God took me since then, and it was when I submitted myself and just said, okay, God, I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to talk it out. That was when I finally received that peace in my heart. And I'll tell you, I didn't end the prayer right there. It continued in every day until I met my wife, which was several years later. Where is she, God? When will you bring her to me? Where are my kids? Where's my home? Where's my calling? When will you bring it to me? Every day I prayed that, and every day God gave me peace. It says in Jonah 2:8, and I like the New English Translation better than the New Revised Standard. It says, why should we pray to God when we're drowning? It says this, those who worship vain idols forfeit the mercy that could be theirs. Those who worship false gods forfeit the grace of God. That could be theirs. If you pray to anyone else or anything else besides God, you forfeit the goodness, the mercy, the love that's waiting for you. It's right there. Only Christ can save you. No one else will hear you. No one else will come for you. And that's why we pray. I want you to try something new this week. I want to invite you to pray a psalm each day. And let these words, let God lift you out of the water and into His peace. And we'll start with Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. Amen.